Please enjoy this ringback tone while your podcast is reached.
This is Raquel and Chelsea, and you're listening to Baroque Bitches. Welcome to Baroque Bitches, your art and art history gossip podcast. I'm Raquel.
I'm Chelsea.
We're coming in for another week. I gotta apologize. I've been sick the last two times I've led, and I'm sick fucking again today. I'm so sorry you guys have to deal with my like nasally snotty voice. But yeah, that's the thing with having kids. You're like always fucking sick, and they don't tell you that until you like get sick all the time, and they're like, oh yeah, having little kids. And you're like, why didn't you fucking tell? So I feel like there's some things, if you're thinking about having kids, you should know, and you're on the fence, you know, like if you're on the
germs,
you get sick all the time. And then also, if you don't like doing kid things, may not be for you, because like, it's like always doing kid shit.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I even remember, like, before my sister had kids, mm-hmm. she has two little kids now, and she was like, oh, no, I'm not going to be one of those moms that has fucking toys everywhere, where I'm just going to have, like, a little cabinet of toys, and then we're going to put them away. And it's like, bitch.
Like, okay.
Your house is now, it's covered in just kid shit. Toys.
Yeah.
Little bouncy things.
Games. Because they wear you down. It's like, take, you know, on your most energized day, of course you have energy to clean up your house. But on like the day you come home from work and you're tired, you know, even in a single life, you're like, I don't want to fucking clean.
Well, hell no.
But add in taking care of, like, keeping things alive 24/7, and your motivation diminishes really quickly. And you're like, fine, they fucking win. They fucking win. Yeah, you don't have to put the toy away. Just go upstairs. Let's go to bed. Let's bedtime.
I get it. It's like, it's convenient to have all of their things out so they can be distracted by their toys and their blocks and their games. So then you're like, okay, great. No, great. They got 10 minutes to play with these things. Great. I can go take a shit.
Well, that, and I also, I like them to feel like it's their house too. You know, like I want them to feel welcome to share space wherever they, and exist wherever they want to. So that's my whole thing. I've got shit everywhere because I want them to feel like they can be anywhere, you know?
What about those moms that like spray paint there? I saw there's one thing that everyone's freaking out about where it's like the beige moms, which is our like era. The beige millennial needs to have everything beige or neutral.
Oh, yeah. That's like a thing right now. Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
They're like, my kids' toys have too many primary colors. That's the issue that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah.
And I got to paint it beige or gray or something.
I actually have seen on Instagram like DIY accounts where this woman spray painted one of those like little tykes, the red and yellow.
Like little thing.
Yeah, I know, and they like spray paint them white and like, you know, gray, or and it's like, dude,
isn't that, don't they put everything in their mouth? You're gonna put chemicals all over. I thought you liked granola. Like, what the fuck? You're gonna get chemicals all over the shit.
I'm gonna sacrifice it for the look, for the photo.
Or I have seen those toys or those specific like toy stores where it is like neutral baby stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, aren't
you like, this is weird.
This is, kids learn seeing color. They're still figuring out their eyeballs.
Yeah. Their eyes can't fully see color.
Give them some primary colors is fun.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Everything needs to be colorful. Like, oh, it, yeah. Yeah. I know.
It's the only color is like a maybe a very light blush pink, rouge kind of color.
Especially for baby boys. Like, I remember shopping for Diego. It was all gray and blue. And I'm like, dude, I want some fucking like yellow and green and like red. He loves red. Yeah, all little kids love red because it's the first color they can see.
I definitely think like the Target section is for boys, it is gray and blue, which is like, yeah, oh, boring combo.
Give them something else, dude. Diego's so funny. He loves red and he loves black. Like, if you're like, what color do you want? He's like, I want black. I'm like, fuck yeah, you little gothic punk rock weirdo. I love you.
Pretty soon he's going to be getting those bracelets. I don't know what the new the hot pyramid topic studs.
I feel like the new Hot Topic is also kind of grayish.
Yeah.
They've fallen victim to the bohemian.
It's like, I saw a thing where it was like, when you were in high school, it was kind of scary to go on Hot Topic. Now that you're an adult, it's kind of scary to go on a Hot Topic for like a different reason. I feel like I'm not allowed in there. I'm like, oh, this is all little kid stuff now. Like, oh.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Y'all have band shirts? No.
No, you don't have like any shirts. You don't have Rainbow Bright. You don't have like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, no more
Care Bears. That was it. It was like a goth raver. You could either be a goth or a raver in Hot Topic for a long time.
Now it's just like a lot of anime stuff, which is cool, but it's like, it's not really Hot Topic.
No.
I still have to go in there, though.
I want to go in there.
Yeah, damn. I have to. Whenever I see one, it's like, oh, we gotta go. We gotta go.
Dude, we gotta go.
I used to live in there. I loved it.
Well, last week was exciting. We got our episode on Something Rather Than Nothing podcast was released. So if you want to know more about us, I guess, and like how this all started, where we began some weird stories from art school, we go over it all. It's a long ass episode.
How's it going? We have fun.
Yeah, we had so much fun. Ken's really cool. It's like an art variety show, so go check it out. Yeah. I also this week have been listening to Beyonce's country song. Have you heard it yet?
I don't think so.
Dude, this is like blowing my mind. So the internet, of course, is like all like, Beyonce does not belong in country music. What?
Isn't she from, like, the South?
She's from Texas, and...
Yeah. Oh, Texas, yeah.
And I don't really listen to country unless it's, like, super old country, you know?
Like folksy stuff.
Yeah, it just depends. But I'm not really big into country because I affiliate it with, like, you know,
you get
racism.
A little, yeah. Like, it's a little triggering, I think, sometimes.
It's just like,
Is he talking about where women belong?
The culture sometimes can get, like, really iffy that's affiliated with country music.
Oh, for sure. And I think country people are 100% understand that, even if they are in that mindset or not.
They totally get it. So, like, I love the Dixie Chicks, or the Chicks now. They've corrected their name. I love the Chicks. Yeah. And I think it's so cool they corrected the name. And that kind of music, super nostalgic. But the cool thing about Beyonce is there's, like, think about it. There's, like, no Black singers in the country music space. I mean, Lil Nas X had his moment a few years ago, but that was really it. And so she releases this song. It's a number one hit, number one on the country charts. And people are outraged, like, because, of course, people are upset that probably beneath it all that she's Black.
It's the same people that are upset that there was a Black Ariel that are upset.
Oh, my God. Can these people just, like, go the fuck away? Seriously. And they're always like, I'm so Christian. And it's like, are you?
Oh, yeah. Don't even start.
I know. I'm not going to get started. But I just have to say, it's a really good fucking song. Go listen to it.
I'll totally listen to it.
Yeah, I like had it on repeat like a billion times. But yeah, are you ready?
I'm ready.
To visualize.
Let's go.
Let's visualize. Have you ever watched the flickering flames of a fire? Stared into the deepest point of the flame? Felt the heat on your cheeks as it mesmerizes you? Fire, when contained, is beautiful. It provides warmth and light and protection. But once even just a tiny spark flies to where it's not supposed to be, it can spread with a speed that will leave those nearby unsuspecting. Before you know it, everything you've built is gone, and all that's left is the taste of its ashes in your mouth. But see, I would never be so foolish. The blood of the two greatest civilizations is united within me, and I feel that power push and kick and tumble. I am the creator. Ptolemy and Roman blood will intertwine for the first time in flesh that will be the next greatest ruler in power. And I will stop at nothing to protect this great heir, my son. Sister, brother, cousin, husband, it truly does not matter. Nothing else matters now. They will not be the spark that takes my legacy from me. A small sacrifice to extinguish. Even if I myself have to go, Caesarion will be the roar of the fire forever. So welcome to Cleopatra, the final fucking pharaoh.
Hell yeah.
Dude. Oh my God, this bitch.
She's the one. She's the queen.
Dude, there's so, so much tea here today. And I mean, it's like a household name for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For like, sure.
Everybody. I mean,
if anybody knows a pharaoh, they'll know Cleopatra at least. Mm-hmm. Like, if they don't know anybody else.
Or maybe Tut. That's like the two. Cleopatra and Tut.
Cleopatra. Yeah. That's about it.
You're done. Like, you know, might not know anything about Egypt, but then you, like, walk into a Halloween store and you immediately know, like, what Cleopatra costume is.
Let's put a little armband on, get a little wig.
You've done the walk like an Egyptian dance.
Yeah.
You've laid on your eyeliner thick like we did tonight.
For sure.
I mean, she's, like, the fucking original winged eyeliner queen, though. But, yeah. I mean, she wasn't, like, the original one to do it, and we're going to talk about that, but... She's
famous for it. We gotta put a long wing.
Yeah, a long ass wing. And I mean, obviously, there's lots of art depicting that, but Liz Taylor really presses that too.
Oh yeah. Oh hell yeah.
Which I tried to get through the entire movie for this, but it's 4 fucking hours long.
Wasn't it like one of the most expensive movies?
Yeah, so
Hollywood ever.
Yes, so it started off with like a really kind of small, like normal budget, but then they just like kept needing more and more money. And there's like a million sets in this movie, so it makes sense to me because, you know, back then I feel like you would just have a few different sets. This one has at least 100. And they're elaborate and garish, and they fucking do it upright. But definitely like a lot of historical inaccuracies in that film.
For sure.
But you know, a lot of this is rumory because it did happen a long, long ass time ago. and you know, so she's commanded and oversaw a nation of hundreds of thousands of people, sure, right? Mm-hmm. But she also did things like inventing the first vibrator, writing a book of makeup recipes, and starting drinking clubs.
She's a Baroque bitch.
Yeah, so she's totally a Baroque bitch. She loves Bacchus for sure.
Hell yeah. Hathor.
Yeah, Hathor. So there's a lot to get through, so let's get into some context.
Okay.
Yes.
Who? What? ASL?
ASL. Give me a who. Why the fuck do we care? Yeah. So we're going to ancient Egypt. I hope you guys would at least know that. this is in the last century of BCE, which is like old enough that time literally makes no sense to me. I have a really hard time understanding. It's like you go backwards instead of forwards and you count down. Like 3, 2, 1, Jesus died. Jesus, yay, it's BC and then whatever. BC. And then there's AD. It's like, what the fuck? Who thought of this? Why?
Christians.
But all you need all you need to know is that this is roughly 2100 years ago. So a long time ago. And so it's kind of difficult to give context to something that happened thousands of years ago. But basically, have you heard of Alexander the Great?
Yes.
So he has this general in his army who was also maybe like his half-brother, Ptolemy. And when Al dies, Ptolemy is able to assert himself as pharaoh. Okay. And Alexander the Great was, they were Macedonian Greek, so they're not Egyptian. Mm-hmm. Ptolemies were not Egyptian. And a pharaoh is an Egyptian king or queen, and just, mm-hmm. it's interchangeable, just in case people are wondering. There's no, like, pharaohs. It's pharaoh. but yeah, so when Alexander puts Ptolemy in charge, this would have effectively been like putting a foreign rule into place because he's not from there. So yes, ancient times were pretty fucked up, and the Ptolemies definitely saw themselves as like better, classier, more educated than their Egyptian subjects.
Bad.
You're from here? Oh, disgusting.
Ew, waiter.
So mid. They even go as far as to do another really asshole thing where they make the official language of upper class Greek. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the royalty did not even speak Egyptian.
Oh.
Yeah. But what this means for the art at the time is there's emergence between like classical Greek art and Egyptian art. Mm. So, you know, Egyptian art, like ancient art at this point, is like mystical, magical, two-dimensional. It's thought to be more like stylized, meaning that it's not depicted as like realistic. It's more like an expression of what they thought these gods would want to be depicted as, like not earthly beings necessarily, more right. two-dimensional. I mean, I think everybody can picture, you know, a guy that looks like he got run over because his arms and legs and side all look very flat and pressed up against a wall.
Yeah. The hieroglyphics kind of vibe where sometimes your body is going to be part of, like, the language, right?
Right, right.
On the wall, they'll have writing and then a picture and then more writing and a picture.
Yeah, lots of storytelling. Lots of storytelling, but I think the biggest thing to know is, like, these images are not in the likeness of who they're trying to depict. Yeah. So you wouldn't really be able to be like, oh, that's, you know, the first Ptolemy the first. You wouldn't be able to really distinguish that from the picture, the image. Mm. You'd be able to distinguish it with the writings.
Right, yeah.
And with Greek art, I mean, it's pretty realistic, right? You can really, and Roman art, they prided themselves in making realistic depictions. So what happens when these two kind of merge is that we see a lot of new gods incorporated into cults throughout Egypt. Ooh. And the introduction of basically like a lot of tchotchke shit.
Yes.
Because people wanted to take these little things home and like worship their gods and you know, in secret, which didn't really happen before. And the materials also distinguish the time. So that's kind of how we can tell what was made when. But we do see male depictions starting to look more in the likeness of who they were. But female depictions, for whatever reason, were not. So they still remain, like, highly religious. So we'll get into a little bit more examples, but let's keep going on the fam. So the Ptolemies is the namesake of Cleopatra.
Okay.
And this family is basically, like, imagine if like, your family's Thanksgiving had a theme.
Okay.
And that theme just so happened to be like Game of Thrones / Succession.
Ooh.
Yeah. And your family traditions included things like who can plan the best assassination, who has the best plan for world domination, and which siblings are fucking what other siblings.
Oh, no. Oh. Yeah. So I do know a little bit about some possible incesty stuff, which I'd love to learn more about.
Yes. Dude, I'm going to get so into it.
Yeah.
But the dynamic is, so it's like incest, but it's also super brutal. So It would have been like, you know, no mercy is shown. It's all about who has the most power, who's going to be on top, who's going to be the one, right? So Cleopatra Thea the seventh Philopator is born almost 300 years later from when the first Ptolemy pharaoh that we just talked about was in power. So she is born in January in 36 BCE. So she's either a Capricorn or an Aquarius. We don't know. But I did dig up what these two signs have in common. And I'm on the cusp. So I kind of share with both of these signs. This is from Yahoo. So these two signs are quite similar since they are both ruled by Saturn, the trustworthy planet. They are both sensible and self-sufficient. Passion and determination are two of the most prominent characteristics of Aquarius Capricorn individuals. Aquarius is a devout believer in the reality, and Capricorn, on the other hand, exudes unshakable confidence. While the Capricorn sits quietly, the Aquarian uses words to create a world around them. The debates are enthralling and nearly sensitive in nature. So she's definitely both. She's super gregarious.
Yeah.
She's very smart and she's very self-sufficient.
Yes.
And so she's confident, she's passionate. She grew up in Alexandria, Egypt, which was considered like the learning capital of the world at this point because they have this great library of Alexandria. And she loved learning. She was obsessed with languages and the Egyptian culture. So by the time she's 17, she would have spoken 8 fucking languages.
Damn. Yeah,
and I'm like over here fucking failing Spanish class, and this bitch has 8 languages under her belt. So Egyptian, Ethiopian, Hebrew, Arabic, Median, Parthian, Latin, and her native coin Greek.
Damn.
Bitch is smart as fuck.
Hella smart.
Yeah, so dad is Ptolemy the 12th, Auletes, and it's thought that... And it's thought that Cleopatra was his favorite and that there would have been like a strong bond there. And we don't know who Cleopatra's mother was. We'll find out why in a minute.
Mom.
Hey, Mom, who are you? So Cleopatra had 4 siblings, and this is order of birth. So Berenice the 4th, Cleopatra, then Arsinoe the 7th, then Ptolemy the 13th, and then Ptolemy the 14th.
Okay.
all the guys usually typically would end up being named Ptolemy, and all the women Cleopatra to represent like the gods Osiris and Isis. And there's definitely a sibling rivalry that's going to play a huge role in all the events that happen in this episode. Basically, Ptolemies are born pitted against one another. And they each have their own advisors and influencing them and telling them different ways to go about their issues who are also seeking their own personal gain.
Shady.
Yeah, so they're shady as fuck.
I feel like whenever we come into, okay, who's the guy telling you in the background? Shady.
Right?
Totally. No.
Totally.
Don't trust him.
No, don't trust him. yeah. And so you definitely would need to be on your A game to decipher like who you could trust, who you couldn't. And it would have been very hard to know. And so when she's 17, dad gets sick and passes away. And that, I mean, it's like bittersweet, obviously, sad. You know.
Yeah.
He dies. And then that makes her the new leader of Egypt.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, your dad fucking dies and then you're queen out of nowhere. That must have been real. It's like, oh, you're crying. That's cute. Get the fuck up. You're queen.
Yeah. You got shit to do.
Yeah.
So it's not the boys that would be king. Yeah. It would be Cleopatra. Did dad choose that?
There's so much to get into and I'm going to touch on every single point, but you're so observant. And that is a very good observation. So one thing that you didn't notice is she also had an older sister. So why wasn't it the older sister?
Yeah.
Because her dad fucking has her killed. Yeah.
I know. The dad has
daughter killed. Sister? Yeah. So basically... So basically one day the people of Egypt are like rioting against dad, and dad has to flee Rome, and he takes Cleopatra with him, and he's like, Bernice, you hold this shit down, like you got it on lock, you stay here. And she lets this get to her head and tries to basically like usurp his throne. And so when he comes back, he's like, bitch, you gotta die. Bitch. You got to die.
To full on die.
You have to full on die. Yeah.
We can't just exile you or put you somewhere else. You gotta die.
Yeah. No. So, so right off the bat, we have dad killing daughter. Just really sets the tone here. Yeah. So dad dies, and instantly Cleopatra is up for the role. But the thing about Egyptian pharaohs is they have to have a partner pharaoh. And let's just say she didn't have to look very long and hard to find a husband.
I'm going to be a pharaoh. What's up, guys?
Not only that, but because her younger brother was right there. Oh. I wish you could see Chelsea's face. You're just like shocked. No. So yes, ancient Egyptians were kind of gross a little bit.
Marry her brother.
Yeah.
Her little brother. That just seems like I know it's incestual, which is typically unnatural, but that's so unnatural, dude. That must feel so weird and cringy. Maybe they had different sensibilities about, like, because I'm just imagining little brother vibes, and now you're my husband who's going to rule Egypt with me and breed the next pharaoh. Stop.
Well, I know. So it's actually really common and normal to marry and multiply with your siblings if you were royalty at this time. You know, like keep the bloodline pure or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also really... I know. We've come so far. We know too much. But it's also very deeply seated into Egyptian culture and religion, because all kings and queens throughout the history of time thought they had this like God-given right to be king or queen, and that they're earthly representations of the gods. And this has everything to do with their ancient gods, Osiris and Isis. So let's talk about this fucked up story. So Isis is the goddess of love, healing, fertility, partying, magic, and the moon. And Osiris is her brother and considered the Judge Judy of death.
Okay.
King of the underworld.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's like the guy that decides if you get in or not, sort of deal.
Right.
And well, Isis and Osiris are actually siblings, and they have this fucking annoying brother, Set. And Isis and Osiris fall madly in love with one another, and things are going just so well for them. Isis is chilling, being the goddess of medicine, like beer brewing. And Osiris, it's like a really bohemian couple. And Osiris is given basically Earth. And they're like, you know, teach the people on Earth how to like survive and shit.
Okay.
And well, Set did not like this and gets hella jealous and comes up with a plan. And he invites all the gods to this party. And he brings with him a box. And he's like, bet you can't get in my box, dude, to like everybody. So all the gods are like trying to get in this box, and nobody can get into it because it's made just for Osiris to fit in. Oh. So when Osiris finally gets in the box, fucking Set locks it up and throws it in the Nile.
Damn.
And so Isis is going everywhere fucking looking for this box, finally finds it. And then Set motherfucking comes in and chops up Osiris's body and throws the pieces all over Egypt. So Isis, and it's like, what the fuck, dude? Finally found him, and now you're chopping him up. And he was already dead. But so Isis goes around collecting all the pieces. It's like, fucking, okay, here's his arm. Okay, got that. Okay, now we gotta get the hand. Okay, got that. And she's slowly and painstakingly stitching him back together.
Okay.
And, well, wouldn't you fucking know, she cannot find the penis anywhere.
Of course not.
It's just like a fucking fish ate it. So she can't find it anywhere. A fish ate the penis. And I mean, it's arguably the most important part.
Yeah.
So she's like, whatever, I'll just make it out of some like fucking wings. And she makes him a penis. He becomes back alive to fuck her, impregnate her, and then dies immediately. So she... So it's like the craziest story.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like a praying mantis situation where it's like, okay, we're going to fuck and then I'm going to die.
I mean, I don't know what caused the inspiration for this. I mean.
Yeah. Okay, Egypt. All right.
Wow. So, yeah. So she...
I love it though.
It's such a cool story. So she gives him a prop. It's very, it's just like the details about the penis and the like, okay. It's just very inventive. A for imagination.
Totally.
So she gives him a proper burial and he becomes Lord of the Underworld. And then she births their son, Horus. So you can look up the Temple of Edfu, and this temple was dedicated to Horus, and Edfu is E-D-F-U.
Oh, cool.
And Horus is recognizable because he's the one that has the head of a falcon.
Yeah, he's the bird guy.
Yeah, the wing penis, and the, you know, then he's a falcon. He's just
got it. That's how we make bird.
That's how we make bird. Yeah. So he is
awesome.
So he is depicted in a relief sculpture on the front of the temple, along with other gods. He's also all over the place in other statues and depictions on the wall. Horus is also actually thought to be Greek god Apollo. But the depictions of the gods is in the Egyptian
Apollo
artistic style.
With the wings.
Exactly. That's
I
think.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
You're so smart. It's like Da Vinci Code over here.
Nice. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So the royalty thought of themselves as earthly, like, reincarnations of the gods, essentially. So whenever they're depicted... No matter, and this is why it's so difficult to decipher which one would be this Cleopatra versus a prior Cleopatra, is not only because they're all fucking named Cleopatra, but also because they're all depicted in the image of Isis. So Isis is usually, she has a tit out, and it's to represent fertility, feeding Horus. And then, so Osiris and Isis... Them being brothers and sister, that's why brother and sister always marry and multiply.
Chill. Totally chill. Natural.
And this temple would have been one of four temples that she had a part in building. And temples were basically places of worship and for priests to serve God. So they would have had like weird alchemy rooms, and there's art that just decks out all over the walls. And it was also thought that temples were occupied by the gods, that they actually lived there.
Right.
So this kind of sets the precedence for Egyptian culture. Because Isis is so valued, women really have an equal standing in society and an equal voice. But there's also not so cool things like Cleopatra having to marry a younger brother.
Yeah.
But to answer your original question of like, why not the brother? It's because it's like, no, she's oldest and she's capable.
Okay.
She can do it. But she will marry him and he will have his own advisors. But things are otherwise going good. She's doing what pharaohs do. She's campaigning, meeting the people of Egypt. And the people really fucking love her because she speaks Egyptian. And she loves the people too. She has this way of valuing them that rulers in the past had not done before. And people fucking love her for that. And the people of Egypt are made up of Egyptians, Greeks, and Jews. And they all fucking hate each other at this point. So it feels nice for them to be united in like admiring their ruler, right?
Mm,
But but not all people love that. So her brother's advisor, Pothinus, does not love that, to be exact.
He's a fucking Pothinus.
Dude, he's such a fucking Pothinus. Oh my God, that can so be used that way because he's such a dick. So he saw speaking Egyptian as like trite, and he's like basically thought like it was pointless, and he did not like Cleopatra standing in his way for world domination.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. So Cleopatra, I mean, she has reason to be scared at this point a little bit. Yeah. The siblings want her power, and they know she's a force to be reckoned with. And Ptolemy, her brother husband, decides to basically start a civil war and tries to kill Cleopatra, so she has to flee and go to Syria.
Shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. So small dick energy.
Small dick energy. And Rome at this point is the other major player. And it's ruled by Julius Caesar. Okay. And there's also a civil war going on between Caesar and his brother-in-law, Pompey. So Pompey flees to Egypt to ask for help after being defeated in the civil war. And Caesar follows him because he's like, you're not fucking getting away from me, motherfucker. You think I see you? So Cleo's brother husband and his dumbass advisor, Pothinus, when Pompey gets there, think it's a good idea to murder Pompey and have his head delivered to Caesar.
Okay. Caesar doesn't let – Caesar is trying to kill him anyway, though, kind of.
So, you know, that's the weird thing about this. Caesar's actually fucking mortified, apparently.
Okay.
So in Roman culture, there's this, like, honor thing that happens, you know? It's like a false sense of honor where they do have these, like, weird ideas of, like – no, that's fucked up. He needed to die in honor. He deserved more than that.
Okay.
Probably would have killed him, but either way, Caesar's fucking pissed.
I wanted to kill him.
I wanted to kill him, and I wanted to make it, like, you know, honorable or some bullshit.
What?
But Pompey was also his son-in-law, so he had, like, a lot of love for Pompey.
Okay.
And so Cleopatra, though, she's smart as fuck, and she's like, okay, this is going to be a good opportunity for me to win over Caesar. She knew that he would be upset because bitch is hella smart, has studied lots and lots of history and understands the Roman culture too.
Okay.
So she's like, maybe I can get into Caesar's, you know, group and explain to him my siblings are fucking crazy and I can get my power back. So Cleopatra basically smuggles herself into Caesar's bedchambers and rolled up in a carpet.
This bitch.
Mm-hmm. And when she unveils herself, she's looking hot as fuck.
Damn.
But she's not all done up for no reason. She is there with intent and purpose. And all her moves are very strategic and are charged with this greater goal of preserving her power and growing her legacy. So she's like essentially unveiled out of this sack. And Caesar is knocked the fuck aback. First, he's like, do I kill her? And then he's like, wait, do I fuck her? And he's like, wait, do I love her?
Oh, yeah.
So apparently they talk for hours, and he's very charmed with her intellect, but also with her understanding of politics, of war strategy, you know, like world domination shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, wow, you really understand the inner turmoil of being a ruler. And it's thought that he also would have never met somebody that looked like Cleopatra. So he's like, oh, so exotic.
Yeah.
Driving me fucking wild. He's literally vagmatized, queenmatized, foreignmatized, all of the above. It's thought that they like really fall for one another, but like fall in love, like drenched in ulterior motives, right?
Yeah.
But Caesar is not into the like fucked up family dynamic. He's like, you know what? I'm Roman. In Rome, we like, first off, we don't marry our siblings. Second off, we have like a more peaceful way of like maybe dealing with our problems instead of like, you know, plotting to murder each other. So can we all just like get along, kumbaya sort of deal?
Okay.
And so he writes out this like agreement to restore Cleopatra's power, give Arsinoe and Ptolemy their own lands to rule outside of Alexandria, and be like, okay, here, everyone shut the fuck up. You all have lands.
Yeah.
Just be happy, you know? But yeah. Of course, they're not.
No.
So Ptolemy and Arsinoe start another civil war in Egypt called the Alexandrian War. And this war would have been like fucked up. Like, no fucking rules, people battling in the streets, lots of death and dying, no honor. Yeah. And it gets so out of hand that the Library of Alexandria, that great library that had thousands of years of scrolls in it, burns down.
Fuck, yeah. Dude, so annoying. Small dick energy.
Small dick energy. But Caesar and Cleo do manage to capture Arsinoe, younger sister. Okay. And Ptolemy, well, he's like mysteriously one day on a ship in like a full metal armor.
Okay.
And like maybe gets like pushed off, or maybe did he fall, or but he, like, he probably got pushed off into the sea and like sinks because he's wearing this like heavy fucking armor.
Yeah.
So the war is over. Cleopatra wins, one sibling down, two to go. And Caesar promised Cleopatra, he's like, when I get back to Rome, I'm gonna fucking murder your sister. You got it, babe. And
yeah. Oh my god, thank you.
Oh my god, that's so sweet. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Sister. How did you know? We're so yeah. MTV.
Twin flame.
So Rome at this time is also super volatile. People are always plotting for power. And the Roman people also would riot and demand what they want be carried out. So when Caesar returns with Arsinoe, and she would have been 17 at the time, he parades her around in the streets and is like, look at what I won. And the Romans respond with like, dude, seriously? That's like a little kid. Like, you can't fucking kill her. So Caesar is like, fuck, what do I do? So instead, he casts her away to a prison outside of Rome.
I'm not going to kill her. She's a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. But I'll send her away and exile her and separate from her family.
I'll exile her. I'll just put her really far away and hope for the best.
She'll be fine.
She'll be fine. It's fine. Well, Cleopatra gets fucking pissed because she knows Arsinoe is like smart and that she's still a threat.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I forgot to mention is that by the time Caesar is getting ready to go back to Rome, Cleopatra is 7 months pregnant.
Oh.
Yeah. And she is fucking stoked because in her mind, she's like, cool, my son's going to be the heir of Egypt and Rome. Like, holy fucking shit. I won the jackpot. Because in Egyptian culture, it didn't really matter who you were fucking. Like, in fact, that's why we don't know who Cleopatra's mom is. Oh, because even though they're, like, marrying siblings, they're still fucking other people. And it's, like, really not a big deal.
Okay. They've got lovers. And whoever impregnates, whoever is divine right.
It's still royal blood. Okay.
They're a little loosey-goosey about it.
Yeah, they're definitely more loosey-goosey. And so she's still royal blood, and we don't know who her mom is. It could be her aunt. It could be her mom or a mistress or a random one-night stand. We don't know. We don't know.
Oh, wow.
But she's, you know, she's still royal blood. I think that's awesome. I like the loosey-goosey rules. I don't like the, like, you know, have to stick with it. I mean, not in my marriage. I don't want the loosey-goosey rules. But I'm saying, like, this is cool for them. Like, free love, whatever.
Yeah, okay.
So Ptolemy, the first brother Ptolemy is dead. Now she has to marry a second brother. So, and I think he's like 11 or something. Like, he's really fucking young. And she's like 22 and pregnant with somebody else's baby. So it's a very, very like talk show, like, you know, Jerry Springer, Maury situation over here.
Yeah.
But Roman culture was more like what we know today. Monogamy was expected. Maybe some mistresses, but you had a wife to answer to, which Caesar did. And your children by other women were not legitimate. So boo, boring.
Oh.
Well, Cleopatra goes to Rome when her and Julius's kid would have been about a year old and is fucking furious when she finds out her Sinoy's not dead. But she knows she has to play her cards right because there's no Maury and there's no Montel to say you are not the father or you are the father.
She's got to just chill.
She's got to be chill. She's got to do this right way because she wants her son, Caesarion, to be named rightful heir to Rome.
Right.
So she's in Rome and her and Caesar love to party. They, they hang with like intellects and scholars and philosophers. But Caesar's best friend and military extraordinaire, possibly future betrayer, Mark Antony. So, foreshadowing. But apparently they're like really flaunty with their love. Everybody knows they're fucking and people fucking hate her. They start circulating rumors that she's this evil, witchy woman temptress and that Caesar is under her spell, that he is going to place her as queen. Mm. And they did not want a fucking queen. And that he's going to be a polygamist, that the capital is going to move to Alexandria. They're just like, you know, acting out of fear. In Egypt, shit was different. Women had more equal rights than in Rome. They could open businesses. They could file for divorce. They could own property. Rome, it was like, oh, you're a woman? Why don't you go and, like, fold some laundry and have my baby? Yeah. So.
Yeah. Or if you are going to have a job, it's probably servicing other dudes. You'll have the oldest job.
Exactly. So definitely some cultural differences there. So when Romans start making depictions of her, it's thought they make her really hot to contribute to this like evil temptress femme fatale motive that they have.
Okay.
So there's a lot of debate on what Cleopatra actually looked like. There was a recent documentary released on Netflix, and a woman in the beginning is sharing her story of being taught about Cleopatra and her mother telling her, I don't care what they teach you in school, Cleopatra was black. Of course, some people get all up in arms about it, stating how they can prove, like, she was not black, which is very – has a very obvious undertone of, like, racism a little bit.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. You're in Egypt. Yeah. You're going to be pretty dark, if not black.
I mean, so the truth is that we just don't know because, you know – Ptolemies were not native to Egypt, so they would have been Greek. However, they also would have been fucking whoever the fuck they wanted to.
Seriously, we didn't even know who her mom was. So
yeah, we don't know who her mom was, but I'm going to go with that she was probably biracial and absolutely beautiful. Yeah. That's what I'm believing. So look up Roman portrait of Cleopatra. And you'll see a marble bust of Cleo's head. She looks very beautiful, has sort of like finger curls, like wave in that classical Roman style with her hair. She has big eyes. She looks realistic. Like this could actually be a likeness for what she looked like, but it's definitely stylized like Roman style.
For sure. Yeah, no, she's hot.
Yeah, and so now look up an Egyptian portrait of a Ptolemaic queen, possibly Cleopatra, 51 to 30 BC.
Oh, okay.
So this is a statue, is a bust of Cleopatra, which is done in the Ptolemaic style. Okay. And you can see it's like less realistic, more stylized.
Yeah.
I think it like looks a lot like more like early Islamic art. If we're making a comparison, that making your actual image as a god may be a faux pas. The depiction shouldn't be humanly or distinguishable, like we kind of already went over.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's thought that Cleopatra would have had these kind of statues erected all over Egypt. And they're definitely meant to like represent herself as Isis. It's thought she really believed that she was Isis.
Yeah.
So we see the difference in art that it's coexisting but being made around the same time, but two completely different sort of movements and types of art. So, right, Rome is much more loaded with human agenda, almost like propaganda. And, you know, Egyptian art's really for this religious purpose.
And then I heard, too, that people would make like graffiti and stuff, and either depict her being ugly or like totally hot with titties out, ass
out. Totally. Fucking. Yeah. And she even of herself, like, will have herself made to look more masculine so yeah. that she comes off as more powerful.
Like a pharaoh. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, her likeness is depicted on coins and she looks very manly, but it's like, no, she was doing that so they would maybe take her more seriously.
Yeah.
So the tension's brewing for Caesar because people don't like her. And one day he's walking into the Senate just like it's any other fucking Tuesday. And all of a sudden he's attacked from behind. Like in the Senate.
Damn.
Right there on the Senate floor, multiple men come up and stab Caesar dozens of times.
My God.
Yeah, brutally fucking murdering him.
Dude.
And so it's thought that Brutus killed him, you know, et tu, Brute. Have you ever heard
that? Yeah.
So, and Cleopatra's there in Rome. So her advisors are like, dude, we have to get the fuck out of here. And she's like, no, I want to hear that fucking will. I want to know what's in it. Yeah,
because where are you gonna go?
Back to Egypt.
Yeah,
but
and deal with that,
right?
Deal with all that drama.
Well, I think you know, if she went back, she was fearful that they would change it and she wouldn't be able to be there for the reading of it.
Yeah.
But basically, what ends up happening is that Caesarion is not listed as her heir, and Caesar picks this like random grand nephew, Octavian. Yeah.
The fuck out of Octavian?
I know. What the fuck? Nobody knows who you are.
You don't even know here.
You don't even go here.
Can't sit with us.
Yeah. So she's devastated for so many reasons. And Mark Antony, his best friend, also kind of thought, like, I would be the heir. Like, why am I not there?
Yeah.
So, there's already tension building between Octavian and Mark Antony. And Mark Antony starts building his group of followers and armies. So does Octavian. So, they're gearing up for a civil war. And Cleopatra's like, peace out. I'm going back to Egypt.
Okay.
So, I know what you're thinking. Like, what the fuck is going on with Egypt this whole time? Well, Egypt is fucking thriving. Cleopatra had implemented, like, some taxation and strategies and, like, you know, government shit.
Yeah, because she's hella smart, knows eight languages. Yeah, bitch.
Exactly. So their economy is booming.
Set you up with a nice economy, but by the time I get back, it's gonna be great. You'll be fine,
right? Well, and also when she was like fucking Caesar. Caesar alleviates this huge debt that Egypt had to Rome.
Oh.
So she doesn't have to pay it anymore.
Cool, 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 cool.
Bitch, this pussy must have been just like weighed of
wet
gold.
Wet ass pussy.
yeah.
Can you, okay, like spread eagle. Just, okay, before anything. We have a little bit of, I have like a little bit of debt.
Just like can alleviate that for me. Come on.
And anything you want. Yeah. This bitch.
Oh my God.
We need to take notes.
I know, dude. She like fucking pussy-matized all these bitches. So. Just wanted to incorporate a few accomplishments and fun facts. So it's thought that she invented the first vibrator by putting angry beads inside of a dried gourd.
Angry, holy shit.
And like,
dude.
People are like, no, it's not That's true. So yes, it's hard. True. No, it's not true. Yes, it's true. I'm going with it's fucking true. That's dope. Why
That's
are you?
So hardcore.
It's so hardcore, but like, how smart. And sorry to the vegans, because I know that might upset you, but like, I still, I mean, you know,
it was a long time ago.
It's not a vegan vibrator, but that's okay. They have them now.
That's hilarious. Angry bees. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So she invented all sorts of makeup concoctions, and it's actually thought that she would have made a medicinal book. Because the makeup, the heavy eyeliner and blue eyeshadow and red lip was all actually having a medicinal component for warding off infections. So everybody wore it, men and women, for their health.
Okay.
So she also invented the prototype for what is basically the calendar that we use modern day. So yeah, the monthly calendar with the 365 days, she invented that. She makes Egypt bilingual. She expanded Egypt's territory. She develops a very powerful navy. And yeah, so that's like the accomplishments just go on and on. She has ship built. She's a proponent of the art. She's very much like the queen bitch, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Things are going really fucking well, except we do have the whole like Arsinoe issue. She's still alive. And now she's formed an alliance with the governor of Cyprus. And they are plotting against Cleopatra. So, yeah.
Just stay over there.
Why?
She's doing so much cool stuff for
Egypt. Don't you know I'm better than you? Like, seriously, you can't win.
She is.
So basically the whole world domination thing took a back seat for a while, but then Mark Antony starts blowing Cleo the fuck up because he wants her help to win this war against Octavian. So, and at first she's like, nah, refuses, and then finally agrees to see him. And when she goes to see him, she is decked out in like the most gold, lavish, like she really, like, have you seen DuckTales? Do you remember DuckTales? You know when there's like, they're swimming in the gold?
They're swimming in the gold. I vividly remember.
I know. Or like in The Goonies when they like find all the treasure. Like I just picture it's like the most fucking, all the gold, all extra, the gems, all the shit. She's really like, look at everything I have, motherfucker. And like, look how hot I am. And she dressed.
You want your economy to look like this.
Oh, you want help? That's cute. You fucking want me. And Mark Antony is fucking besotted. Like, he cannot tell left from right, up from down. He falls in love with her too.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, and she very much falls in love with him, but I think in more like a political power move kind of way.
Yeah. No, she's smarter than that.
She's smart. So they go on a fuckathon, battle of the minds, political domination binger. They talk about how they're going to conquer Octavian. They form a drinking club called the Society of Inimitable Livers. They throw they throw fucking rager parties and basically are just having the time of their lives. But again, drenched in an ulterior motive. So he needs her navy. She wants him to kill Arsinoe, name Caesarion as the rightful Roman heir, and basically just like, give me anything I want. Look at me.
Yeah. I want Rome. I want to still be chilling in Egypt too.
Yeah. Apparently
and
one night
I
they're
want
like
my kid to be the best.
Right. Apparently one night they're like laying in bed and she's like, you know what like would be so manly and like very, very sexy? It was like murdering my sister.
Awesome. Dude.
Yeah, so he does have Arsinoe killed, and then Ptolemy, the newest brother husband, mysteriously gets ill and also dies, which is sad because he would have been really young and kind of like not potentially.
But she's at this point.
She's just like, I don't want to worry about it. I'm worried about my kids. So bye. So yeah, so now all the siblings are gone and now we just have to conquer Octavian because he's still very much in the picture and has a strong army. So Mark Antony leaves Egypt to go back to Rome. Cleopatra is pregnant with twins.
Oh, shit.
So this would have been like, I'm fucking the holiest fucking bitch. Like, obviously Isis and Osiris are in my fucking womb.
Yeah.
Well, what does Mark Antony do? He fucking marries Octavian's sister and leaves Cleopatra. What? Yeah.
That stupid
right?
Thing? I don't even know if she is, but she's dumb.
Oh,
ew.
And he doesn't send a word to Cleopatra for 3 fucking years either. 3 years. Yeah. So this was a big deal because she's like, dude, I had your holy fucking twins and this is, we're in love and like, we're going to take over the world. And now, you know, nothing. But she wouldn't, it's thought she wouldn't have really cared about the whole marriage thing because, you know, Egyptians are like they're fucking everybody. And yeah. She understands that it's for a political need to kind of calm down that civil drama in Rome. So she's cool about that, but she's still like, well, she wants a phone call, you know?
Yeah.
Like, show me you care. So when they do eventually meet up again, she's like, do what the fuck, but they can't help it. They're just too in love with one another. And so they spend the entire winter plotting their next move.
Okay.
So, yeah. but yeah, so there's a quote from Plutarch that writes, so eager was he to spend the winter with her that he began the war before the proper time and managed everything confusedly. He was not master of his own faculties, but as if he were under the influence of certain drugs or magic rites, was ever looking towards her and thinking more of his speed return than or conquering the enemy. So people basically thought she's casting spells on him, obviously, right? Because what he's doing is so stupid. Like, why would he do that?
Oh, man.
So they get done winning this war or whatever, and then they go back to Alexandria and stage this event called Donations of Alexandria. And they both dress up royal as fuck. They sit on top of thrones all decked out. And right there in front of everybody, Mark Antony distributes lands to all four of Cleopatra's children because they had another baby at this point. He names Caesarion the rightful Rome to heir. And he marries Cleopatra and announces her as Isis.
Hell yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So this effectively severs all the fucking ties he has with Octavian. Yeah. And it is fucking on. So Cleo and Mark Antony are like, fuck it. They keep having these crazy decadent parties. They're not giving a fuck. They change the name of their drinking society to Companions to Death. Okay. Mark Antony keeps like just being wasted and making rash decisions in battle. Everybody starts bowing out. The advisors are leaving. Armies are fleeing. And Cleopatra starts building herself a new, quote, temple to Isis, which she calls her mausoleum. So they're gearing up to die. Like, they know that this is, like, going to lead to them dying.
Damn.
So So there's a few different rumory versions of how they die. So one is that Cleopatra, this whole time, has been plotting with Octavian. And she's thinking, well, I know I'm fucking doomed and so is Mark Antony, but I can save the children. So I'm going to fake unaliving myself and send word to Mark Antony that I'm dead. And then he'll unalive himself and I can go to Octavian and tell him, like, look, I had him kill himself for you and then try to seduce him. But it doesn't work. And she then runs away and unalives herself to avoid shame of failing her kingdom.
Oh my God.
So that's one version. But the other version is that Mark Antony is told by Octavian's council that Cleopatra killed herself and that he's so heartbroken that he falls on his own sword. And then as he is dying, he's brought to Cleopatra's room. She holds him as he passes away. And once he dies, she has an asp, which is like a poisonous snake, brought to her and subjects herself to a fatal bite from the snake on her breast and also dies. So a real like Game of Thrones Romeo and Juliet situation.
Yeah, it is kind of Romeo situation.
Yeah, and this is actually like William Shakespeare does write a play called Cleopatra and Mark Antony later on. So she would have been 39 years old. All the children are taken to Rome to be raised by Octavian's sister. Just to add a little insult to injury there.
Damn.
But Caesarion is murdered shortly after Cleopatra's death. The mausoleum she had built for herself has not been discovered. And it's thought that it is buried in the sand and still nobody can fucking find it.
Damn. If you happen to know.
If you happen to know the site of where a temple,
a weird temple, if you stumble across a weird temple with some Egyptian shit in it, let us know.
Let us know. We'll take care of it.
We'll take care of it.
We'll figure it out for you.
Oh my God. Or if you happen to know where Osiris's penis is.
Oh my God, I'm
trying. Send it over.
So funny. So she was the last of the Egyptian pharaohs. And after this, Rome has effectively annexed Egypt. Damn. And I mean, talk about lasting fame. I mean, she literally lived over 2,000 years ago and we're still talking about her now. So.
Yeah, like her whole life was just drama.
Yeah.
But like it's kind of like it if you're raised in that kind of thing. It's kind of, I think she's just collecting languages, like collecting knowledge, because she knows that shit's going to go down in this bitch.
Yeah. Well, I think she really did think that she could be the ultimate world power and that like divinity would save her in some way.
Yeah.
But in the end, it just like they made some bad war moves. And you know us, I'm not like going to go into all the battles and stuff, but like they made some bad moves. So they're like, fuck it, I'm going to party and drink. And I love that for them.
Yeah, just party till we die, literally.
Literally.
That was the motto.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
So there are movies, songs, TV shows, and more written about her. She is the ultimate femme fatale. And her image morphs and changes over time depending on who is depicting her. Super romantic story, for sure. But person at the party, so I'm going to go with my gut here, and I couldn't get this one out of my head, Beyonce?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's because I'm like really digging on that latest hit. But she's the queen bee, and yeah. I'm just like in awe of how much she's accomplished too. It was my first dream when I was a little girl to be Beyonce, and obviously I know that I can't do that now, but I fucking loved her. She's made so many albums in like all these different styles, like her different languages, which I just think it like reflects that multilingual capability of Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Like she made like a sort of like dance house album, and then before that was like a hip hop album, and then now she's making a country album. I'm like, what's next, Beyonce? What's next? Are you gonna do a rock album? I'll listen to it.
I feel like she can fucking do it. She's kind of getting it. Well, I think she's kind of metal in her performances. Like she gets real crazy.
Like yelling and stuff.
Yeah. Really hardcore in her performances.
Yeah. And she also has that song Drunk in Love, which I just is like, that's Mark Antony and Cleopatra all day.
I like that there's like a lot of conspiracy theories about her too.
That's true too.
Yeah. Of like there, because I had to go down. I went down a rabbit hole for the MK Ultra. Oh my God. Yeah. Like it went down. I had to go down an MK Ultra hole until I started getting to a place in these conspiracy theory YouTube channels that was like, no, it's not. Like, no, you're going too far with this. And then everything turned very scary Republican.
Oh God. Like, oh, yeah, get out of there. What are you doing?
Where am I?
What is you doing? Get out of the chat. No more.
A very QAnon.
Yuck.
Oh no, I'm in the wrong place in YouTube right now. I don't belong here. But yeah. There's of course, because Beyonce is like the most famous person in the world right now.
Oh, probably. Totally. And T Swift.
there's all these conspiracy. I'm like, oh, she keeps throwing up the triangle and the triangle's connected. They do Da Vinci Code stuff.
People have too much time, I swear.
Yeah. And she, you know, she's for this because she eats babies and and then all of Hollywood eats babies. And you're like, where does eating babies, what does eating babies do for you?
Who is eating babies? God.
Or they're all demonic and Satanists.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all that stuff.
Okay. I mean, sure. Okay. You sell your soul. All right. I mean,
I don't think it's like Death Becomes Her. Like they all want to think it's Death Becomes Her for all these celebrities. Yeah. You know, that movie with Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn and Bruce Willis, where they can live forever or whatever. Definitely. And have anything they want.
They have there's something that we don't know about, and it all starts in childhood, and they like the Hollywood grooms, and I'm like, dude,
I live crazy. Here.
Like, it's not, we're not doing any of that.
Like, they're just like people, they just like got lucky, you know, and they're stuff. Also really talented. And Cleopatra, there's like a million conspiracies about her. But the art is cool. And her legacy is cool. It's definitely difficult to distinguish what came out of her time, but the temples are rad. Guys, check them out. I'll put some photos up on the gram. We have Baroque Instagram, baroque.b.podcast. And we have Patreon. Yes. And if there's something you want us to know, slide into the DMs. Leave us a star. Please leave us a star or a comment. God, we live for that shit, huh?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yeah. We get really excited when you guys leave comments.
So excited when you guys leave reviews. Comments.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
Or when you we get so excited for all that stuff. It like makes our entire day and helps us keep going. So please, if you are enjoying the pod, also share it with your friends. Tell your friends if you think they like it. We're all friends here. Be your friends. Be your friends. Be your friends. All right. I'll shut the fuck up now. Okay. Enough self-promotion. Listen. We love you. Bye.